Welcome to SEC Unfiltered, home of the best SEC content on the internet. The following is brought to you by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks is the simplest fantasy game on the market, focused around prop total entries. You pick 2 to 6 players, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Prize Picks has no sharks, optimizers, or mass multi-entry guys. It's literally just you against the projection. They also allow mixed sport entry. So, for example, you can take the over on LeBron, parlay with the under on Mahomes. They've got college sports, pro sports, literally anything and everything you can think of. They have got it over at Prize Picks. They also have a slick, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play. They're rated 4.8 stars in the App Store with rave reviews as well. Guys, so many fans and listeners of SEC Unfiltered have made tons of money with our friends at Prize Picks, and you should as well. So again, go download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, and when you do, use the promo code SECU to receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Be sure to check them out and tell them that Chris from SEC Unfiltered sent you. Let's get it.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Co-host Emerson Fant, whether you want to call this the windup, you want to call this your weekly SEC baseball chatter. I feel like we keep changing the format on them, Harrison, but either way, we're here, we're talking SEC baseball. There's a lot to get into here this weekend. Really excited. How you doing, my friend? Appreciate you taking the time.
Chris, great to be here. And I think we stick with the lineup. I liked it. It's got a good flow to it. You know, it's got the theme. It's got the right juice to it, the right feel. So
this is officially the windup. No, we're calling no more audibles, although that's football. We're throwing no more curveballs.
No more mound visits, nothing.
We're sticking with heaters. This is the windup. We will rock and roll through this method, this format, all the way through the end of this season. But again, third weekend of SEC baseball is officially in the books. And Harrison, we're going to go through this thing series by series, talk about the headliners, really talk about everything. But I want to start with first. What would you have said if, let's just say a month ago, or let's just say on opening day, I would have told you, Harrison, through three weekends of SEC play, the Kentucky Wildcats would be in first place in the SEC East at 8-1 in the conference? What would you have said?
I'd first ask you who they play to start the season. I mean, to be honest with you, that's my first reaction. But no, I mean, they're a great team. They were a great team last year. And head coach Nick Mangione's got them, you know, rolling just off the juice from last year and how well they were in the postseason and, you know, the right direction leading to the SEC right now, 8-1.
And we'll get in that more in a second, what they did this weekend, sweeping the Ole Miss Rebels. But Harrison, we got to start with what took place in Fayetteville. Of course, this was nationally televised, which it was great to see college baseball, by the way, on the big channels, ESPN2, ESPN, what have you. The number one Arkansas Razorbacks taking on the 8th-ranked LSU Tigers. And, of course, this series hyped up. This is a big SEC West rivalry. Arkansas dusted them. I mean, Arkansas takes care of business. They sweep the series final scores of 7-4, 4-3, 7-5. You saw LSU kind of play around with their starting rotation because, of course, this was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. They saved Luke Holman on Friday. It didn't matter. Nothing that LSU did worked. Your thoughts, Harrison, on what was a huge series sweep by the Arkansas Razorbacks? I mean, again, you look right now, Arkansas sitting at 8-1 in the conference as well, sitting atop the SEC West. I don't know what the bigger takeaway is, though, Harrison. You know, we continue to give Arkansas their flowers, give them their roses as we should. But I think we said last week, hey, let's not hit the panic button on LSU yet. Maybe we've reached that point where, like, you really, really start to worry about their ball club.
Yeah, Chris, and it's a really tough spot coming off the national championship, and we've talked about how Mississippi State and Ole Miss, you know, maybe – sold their souls for national championship. I know you like to say it that way. I mean, the SEC is a gauntlet, and they're just going through probably one of the toughest stretches in the SEC of any team, I think, this season. I mean, they played, Mississippi State, you know, on the road, tough environment. We talk about that. But playing Florida at home, Florida's top 10 team, whether you like their record or not, their midweek schedule or wins or losses or not. And then you play Arkansas, the number one team in the country, in Fayetteville in a hostile environment. And then, I mean, there's no time off, and there's some holes, you know, we talk about the pitching, but they're just not where you want to be. And, you know, it's not going to get any better in the SEC with the schedule they have.
And they've got to get the starting rotation figured out. I know you shuffle things up for Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but obviously that backfired, right? Saving Lee Coleman. I mean, really though, to be fair, you got to give the credit to Arkansas in this instance, because I mean, again, that pitching staff, this might be one of the best pitching staffs we've seen in college baseball, period. Like, when you've got Hagan Smith going, you know, he may not have, Harrison, the stuff of a Paul Skeens. Like, I don't think he's throwing 100 out there, obviously, or is that physical presence maybe on the mound that Skeens was. But he's pitching like Paul Skeens. Like, this dude, it feels like he's virtually unhittable. They roll out guys out of the bullpen, dude after dude after dude, that are just incredible. And then, I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches. Like, when you're throwing out Mason Molina – and I think what's really encouraging, too, is you look at game three, they're able to swing it, right? Score 7 runs in a game three and out-dueled LSU in a game that really came down to the wire. Tommy Tank, like maybe he was going to put LSU ahead and the ball goes foul. And then, of course, he lines out to end it. But, I mean, you can't say enough good things about Arkansas right now. And I think, Harrison, we're seeing why early on so many of us, including myself, had Arkansas winning it all this year.
Yeah, Chris, and I believe I had Arkansas in the finals losing to Wake Forest. It's not looking too hot at the moment right now, but long season, you know, maybe they're going a little hot, cold, hot method. But, I mean, Hagan Smith, he's not Paul Skeens. He's a different style of pitcher. He's a lefty first off. Doesn't have the fastball of him, but I think the off-speed is a little bit better than Paul Skeens. Mm-hmm. Maybe a hot take, but I mean, he's got great stuff. He's got a 65-grade slider, I mean, and a 50-grade splitter. His splitter is great. I think if he uses that more, it's just he's got three elite pitches, and, you know, then you got Mason Molina. We talked about him coming out, game two, and then you got Brady Tiger, another elite starter on Sunday. It's just there's no room for any team to breathe really throughout the weekend with the pitching staff that the Razorbacks have.
You know, Harrison, Wyatt Langford, on a side note, made headlines over the weekend because obviously this time last year he's in the starting lineup for Florida. Now he's in the starting lineup for the Texas Rangers. If there's a guy in the SEC that can make that quick jump like Langford did, I think it's Hagan Smith. Like, I just, he's polished. Like, he's still got things to improve on. But, I mean, to your point, Paul Skeens was a pitcher but threw really, 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 really hard. You know, he's currently in the minors right now. I think he's going to make that jump pretty soon. But, like, I could see Hagan Smith being on an opening day MLB roster next year.
Yeah, Chris, and I actually tweeted about it, like, what kind of on opening day, what college baseball player right now could be pitching on a Major League Baseball team or playing in a Major League Baseball team? And I was neck and neck between Hagan Smith and Chase Burns. I just lean Chase Burns with the fastball, but Hagan Smith, there's no reason I don't see him pitching for a Major League team next year, whether it's beginning of the season or midseason. I mean, Paul Skeens should be up there by the end of the year for sure. Dylan Cruz as well. But, you know, else you don't have those guys. I mean, you have Tommy Tanks, you got Hayden Stravinsky, you got a lot of other really good bats, but you lose two of the best players in college baseball. It's tough to rebound from that. I don't care what team you are.
Harrison, before we get off of Arkansas LSU and later in the show, we're going to talk about stock selling or buying or what have you. But I'll ask you this. When it comes to LSU, are we out on the Tigers as a contender to win the national championship again? Like, is that too bold, or is there real reason? Like, you know, because at some point, right, what are cracks in the armor becomes like real deficiencies and real problem areas. And like at some point you just become not a good team. So it's only three weekends. But again, last weekend, we only said it was two weekends. Now we're saying it's only three. If they lose enough, and the schedule just doesn't get easier. So it's like at some point, if you don't break through and these problems persist, we're going to start talking about LSU fighting to get to the postseason, not fighting to win a second straight national title.
Yeah, Chris, I'm not out of LSU at all. I mean, I don't think you can count out an LSU team at all, let alone a Jay Johnson-led team after the success he's had at Arizona, now at LSU in such a short stint. I mean, they play Vanderbilt next week at home, and then they travel to Lindsey Nelson to play Tennessee. But after that, they have Missouri, Auburn, host Texas A&M at home, but then they travel to down the street to Alabama to play. I mean, and then they have Ole Miss. But let's say they even sneak in the postseason. Ole Miss snuck in the postseason. They shouldn't even been in it, if you ask some people. They never win it all, so gets the postseason. It's a whole new ballgame.
Harrison, let's move to Gainesville, Florida. Talk about the 6th-ranked Florida Gators taking on 21st-ranked Mississippi State. You know, I went on a limb, Harrison. I know you saw it, many others, and I picked Mississippi State to go into Gainesville and win this series. And I was that freaking close. I mean, I was like unhappy or like I was pulling against Florida. But like, you know, we make picks. We like to be right, right? But I was that freaking close. And, dude, State had two chances.
You were that close to a sweep, Chris. Yes. A sweep.
Dude, yes, yes. Both games, what, both were walk-offs.
Game one, game three, yep.
Yes, another week, another weekend, another week where we're talking about Jack Caglione doing something crazy for the Florida Gators. And what do you know, outside of the 5 2/3 inning he gave them on Sunday, he hits the walk-off home run, and this Florida team – and, you know, FSU Twitter, by the way, Harrison, I got very well acquainted with Florida State Twitter. And I didn't think it was going to happen, but I just basically said after they lost that Tuesday game to FSU again, I just said at this point, like, we almost have to discredit what they do in the midweeks, because on the weekends, which is when it really counts, this is one of the best teams in college baseball. And yet again, and maybe at some point it's going to come up to bite them and – but, dude, Florida just keeps finding ways to win on the weekends. Your thoughts on, you know, and it's tough, too, because, like, there's no moral victories, but there's a part of me that wants to say, like, hey, this is really encouraging for Mississippi State. Like, you can look at it from the bright side of, like, dude, you could have swept Florida at their ball.
On the road.
On the other side, though, it's like you fell flat. Like, you had an opportunity. You should have – I mean, if you're a Dogs fan, you feel like you should have at minimum won two of three. Instead, you lose the series. Thoughts on what was a wild weekend in Gainesville?
I mean, it feels like a really catch-your-breath kind of Gators fan. Like, oh, wow, we kind of escaped with that one. But I think you have to be – despite losing the series in a series you should have swept on the road in the SEC, we talk about how insanely hard it is to win on the road, let alone sweep on the road in the SEC. You've got to be happy about that performance and just the level of talent and play that Mississippi State's been playing with against really good SEC opponents. And, you know, they beat LSU in a series to open the SEC play, and then you play incredibly well down in Gainesville. I mean, I think you have to be overwhelmingly positive. You're a little bitter taste in your mouth. So, I mean, you're going to hold that going forward for sure. I mean, they got Georgia next week at home and then at Ole Miss. So expect them to, you know, take one, if not two of those probably after how they played this week.
Harrison, how do you feel about Brandon Neely in that game one spot with the Gators? Do you think that's something that sticks, or was it they're trying to shake up or wake up Cade Fisher to get going? Or do you think Neely in that spot makes sense?
Yeah, Chris, no, I definitely like Neely in that spot. I think he looked really good. I mean, the first couple innings, he didn't have any trouble at all until the fourth inning, and Cade Fisher came out of the bullpen right behind him, and I thought he looked really well. He went 3 1/3, 2 hits, 1 earned, 5 Ks, had 3 walks, but I like that kind of tandem better. I think it takes a lot of pressure off Cade Fisher, and Brandon Neely just seems to be able to step up the challenge and pitch really well. He went 3 1/3, 5 hits, 5 earned, 4 Ks, 2 walks. But like I said, he looked really good through the first three innings, so I think they should try that at least another week. I think it could really benefit them down the road for sure.
I'm sitting here thinking, Harrison, that I just wonder how long before, and I mean, if there's guys on base, you don't have a choice, but how long before teams stop pitching to Jack Caglione? I mean,
they intentionally walked him with a guy on first.
They did. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's just, dude, like you're getting to a point where like, you cannot let that guy beat you. And it's just, hard, you know, it's much easier said than done, but I mean, he's a freak, dude. He's a freak. So, I mean, it's that close. State was that close to sweeping a top 10 team on the road. And, you know, I'll ask you.
Ascension really shut him down in game two. He was electric.
Yeah, he was electric. Filthy. Over 100 pitches, the both-handed pitcher from Mississippi State. This team is much improved. I mean, there's no question. This team, we've seen it already, but this team
really
is
improved too.
Yeah, the bats have taken a huge step forward. This team is much improved. I'll ask you this before we get off this one, though. Florida wins 2 of 3 against State. Like, do you write off their midweek struggles? Like, does that when you look at Florida, does that bother you about them? Is that something that worries you? Or are you just kind of like, hey, this is Sully doing his thing. They experiment in the midweek. They win when it counts. Also, by the way, we should say their midweek schedule's crazy. Like, I feel like
one of the toughest, I think. We can pull it up crazy. If you want the non-conference.
It's crazy. Right? It's crazy.
Yeah.
So,
but no, to answer your question, Chris, I mean, I like the way he approaches midweeks. I mean, the results statistically on the schedule, you know, don't look great, you know, losing a lot of these midweeks too. Like we say, good talent, good non-conference teams. But you think about it, and it comes to regional play, and they could be a deadly 2 seed in a regional. And that's just the last team you want to see as a 2 seed in your regional. I'll tell you that. Especially after they went to Alex Box and won a series there. But I mean, I don't have a problem with it, but I mean, they got Missouri next week and then South Carolina. So, I mean, their schedule is not terrible coming up, but I mean, it's kind of just up in the air. So, but like I said, the midweeks, that's, you're going to be your fourth starter in like a potential, you know, elimination game. That's the kind of worry for me, or kind of the unsettledness for me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, I think as we go throughout the season, we get to postseason play. I think that's when we're going to kind of find out, okay, was like, cause like you mentioned, like guys are getting experience. Is that a positive for the postseason, or like, are these signs of greater problems? We'll see. Let's move to Knoxville. This was a fun one, Harrison. The 5th-ranked Tennessee Volunteers taking on Georgia. Georgia, of course, has been a surprise. Been a little bit up and down, but I think been much better than folks expected. Georgia took Tennessee to the woodshed in game one. Beat them 16-2. This game was over in 7 innings. Nothing ever went right for the Vols on the mound. A.J. Causey didn't make it out of the 3rd inning. Gave up 7 earned runs. And, I mean, Georgia just all night long. Tennessee with the bounce back. They win games 2 and 3. They win the series 16-11 in game 2. Pitching just optional. They tied a Lindsey Nelson record for attendance on Saturday. Again, nobody it felt like pitched this weekend. Outside of game 3. Tennessee blanks Georgia 7-0. Xander Seacrest went 6 innings pitch. No earned runs. 7 strikeouts. He was fantastic. The lefty, which again, I think I love seeing lefties prove you don't have to throw 100 to be effective. This guy was living in the high 80s, mixed his
big
pitches,
fan.
Had a day. Yeah, big fan, had a day. Your thoughts on the Tennessee Volunteers? This one felt big. You obviously want to protect the home field. And, you know, after that game one, it felt very, very dicey, but Tennessee finds a way to bounce back.
Yeah, but I want to give some more pitcher props. Charlie Goldstein in game one absolutely shoved. Six innings, nine hits, two runs, but no earned. He didn't have a bunch of strikeouts, only three strikeouts and 92 pitches, no walks, but he shoved. And that's we had pitching concerns for Georgia, but he really stepped up in a game one that set the tone. I mean, even with the bats, I think it set the tone that they can shut down an elite offense like Tennessee's. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, again, this was one that – and I really like Goldstein, by the way. He's pitched really well this year. I still like this Georgia team. I mean, again, it's tough to go on the road, take two of three. It hurts when you take that first one, but I think Georgia's going to be fine. But, I mean, Tennessee, man, they just hit. I mean, all they do under Tony Vitello is hit. Everybody seems to hit. I think I'm reading here. So, they lost that game to 16-11. Charlie Condon went 5-for-6 with two bombs, and they lost.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, he went dead center. Yeah, it was incredible. It was incredible. I mean, they had two grand slams in the game. Tennessee did. Drew Dreiling hit a huge grand slam on an 0-2 absolute cement mixer over the middle of the plate and breaking ball that he obliterated for his second home run of the day, his 10th of the season. He had seven RBIs in that game. And then Dalton Bargo in the seventh on the Tennessee 6-run inning, he had a grand slam. Oppo down left field line off the pole on a 2-2 pitch. It was a really good pitcher's pitch down, but he just really great piece of hitting. And I mean, we talk about Tennessee, just one of the best hitting clubs up and down. That's what they do under a Tony Vitello team. But I think you got to give praise more to Georgia's hitting. I mean, we talk about their hitting. They lead the nation in home runs, I believe, still. A lot of that was from non-conference, you know, but we always talked about how is it going to translate against SEC pitching and that caliber. I mean, AJ Causey, we talk about one of the better pitchers in the SEC for sure. A great Friday night starter, Drew Beam. They lit both of them up, and they didn't strike out a lot. I mean, combined for AJ Causey and Drew Beam, 4 Ks, and how many innings? Oh, just over 5 innings. Would you believe me if I told you that going in the series, neither one would get out of the third?
Yeah, and I think what's encouraging too, though, from the Georgia perspective, is like the way they're hitting. I feel confident saying the pitching is going to come around under Wes Johnson. Maybe not this year, but like Georgia, I think very soon in his tenure is going to pitch really, really well. And I mean, if they've, you know, you got to go
pitching
find
guy,
right. He's a pitching guy. Right. I mean, you know, it'll be much easier said than done, maybe impossible to find a replacement for Charlie Condon once he's, you know, left Athens. But I mean, they're going to get to a point where they're going to pitch well enough to win. Right. If the bat continue to stay hot, like they're going to be fine. So,
yeah. And you got guys like Corey Collins stepping up, Fernando Gonzalez, Clayton Chadwick, all mashing at the plate now. And it's, the lines get deeper and deeper, and you're not having to, you know, only focus on Charlie Condon. You got these other great hitters with a lot of power. Colby Branch, I mean, just they're filling out these holes that we potentially, you know, were worried about early in the season. They're putting the SEC on notice.
Yeah, putting the SEC on notice indeed. Harrison, let's move to another top 20 series. This one taking place in Tuscaloosa. This was another Thursday through Saturday series, which, by the way, let me ask you this, a fun side note. Are you a fan of the Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Does it matter to you? I mean, is it like, and I know the SEC, this is something they started doing years ago, maybe for TV exposure, but like, do you like the Thursday through Saturday series, or would you prefer them to stick to Friday, Sunday?
Absolutely not. I am not a fan of it. First off, as a fan, you know, it's just a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's the Friday, Saturday, you know, Sunday rubber match, early kind of midday. Yeah. I mean, I get it for this weekend. I'm all about it for this weekend, this past weekend with it being Easter Sunday. They've traditionally done that, I think, the past several years at least. But as a pitcher standpoint, when I'm pitching and I was a starter for the most part of my career, one day throws you off a lot more than you can really think, because you have a whole plan going the whole week of what you're doing, your long toss in this day, your bullpens this day, your kind of light short work here, throwing you off one day. And I think that's why we talk about LSU threw off with Luke Coleman to keep him on a Friday night schedule. Pitchers are creatures of habit and routine, and you don't want to get off that routine in the middle of the season, let alone the SEC.
Well, this one was a Thursday through Saturday series. Again, top 20 matchup, 16th ranked Alabama taking on 18th ranked South Carolina. Of course, Bama was coming off getting swept against the Georgia Bulldogs. South Carolina coming off of a sweep of the Vanderbilt Commodores. And again, like we talked about last week, Harrison, it's just you never know. You never know in the SEC. It's up and down. It's unpredictable. The Alabama Crimson Tide ended up taking 2 of 3. They very easily could have swept this series, by the way. I don't know if you saw the end of game 3.
Yeah, but, it was wild.
Yeah, Bama had them loaded. Runner gets picked off at third and kind of a rundown situation, if you will, throwing behind the runner, whatever. South Carolina does find a way to salvage a game in this one. But, you know, Harrison, I caught a lot of game one. Defensive deficiencies were really the struggle. Cole Messina, it was a nightmare night for him. I mean, a pass ball scores the fourth run. That was the deciding run, 4-3. They get the win. Then you look at game two, Dylan Eskew, his struggles continue for whatever reason. South Carolina continues to trot him out there in the game two role. Matthew Becker wasn't much. He was a little better, not much better. Gave up 5 earned runs to his own right as well. They lose 13-6. And again, I will say, like, you lose those first two games, it's very, very easy to cave on the road and fall in that third game. What are you playing for? You're playing for nothing. So I will give South Carolina a little bit of credit for having the resiliency both times now. They've been on the road, Ole Miss and Bama, fighting tooth and nail in that game three to avoid the sweep, because it's like we talked about, those sweeps, they throw your season for a loop one way or another. So if you're losing 2 or 3 on the road, as much as you don't want to be doing that, like, you look at South Carolina right now, they've still got a winning record in SEC play at 5-4, right? Otherwise, you'd have been 4-5. The vibe and the mood is much different. Your thoughts on this weekend, though? I've certainly got my thoughts, but I'll save them and I'll let you go first of what your overall thoughts were on Bama taking 2 of 3. Today's episode is brought to you by Unified Healing. Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. No matter where you are, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/SEC to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/SEC. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Yeah, Chris, and I think we need to give more praise to Eli Jones and how he might be one of the perennial Friday night guys. He's an under-the-radar kind of name, but he's week after week put up great starts for South Carolina
I think one of the things with him, he's not like a physically imposing. He doesn't look like a
– And he's not racking up 10, 12 strikeouts in every outing.
Right, right. But to your point, he's been very good. Been very good.
Very, very consistent too. And he's given a chance each Friday night. I mean, I know it just ended up losing that game. 2 of the 4 runs that Alabama scored were on wild pitches, like you said, with the game – game deciding run in the eighth. It's just, Gavin Costas had a really good series, I thought, as well. But salvaging that game on Saturday with the Thursday start, that's huge. I mean, you got to salvage that. You're thrown off a week with, how the schedule is. I mean, but Tyler Pitzer, we talked about how great he was last week in the center role. And I said he definitely needs another Sunday opportunity. Went 4 innings, 5 hits, 4 earned, 5 Ks, 1 walk. Left a lot of fastballs middle up and hitter counts that hurt him. But Ty Good and the rest of the bullpen, I thought, pitched really well, except for Garrett Gainey, kind of struggled the 1.2 innings he pitched, four earned. In the ninth inning, I want to talk about this ninth inning. You're up 9-4, I believe it was. 0-2 fastball, single. First pitch fastball, single. 0-2 fastball, hit. RBI sac fly. 0-2 fastball, missed spot badly, dropped pop-up that would have been into the game. 2-2 fastball, RBI single, that's misplayed, that gets all the way to, he gets the third, score 2 more runs. 0-2 fastball by RBI to make it 9-8, and then a missed pop-up, a walk, an infield single, and then you get back picked at third inning. I mean, wild ending, but just, God, it was way closer than it should have been. And Garrett Gainey's been pitching really well for South Carolina, but just not his best weekend for sure. Hoping to bounce back for him.
And I will say, because we're, naturally we're going to spend a lot of time talking the South Carolina perspective because both of us have ties to South Carolina. I do want to give a lot of credit to Alabama. I know the fact that they're winning the way they are when Ben Hess is not pitching his best. He's supposed to be like their stud, their horse, if you will. But, I mean, again, I caught a lot of that game one, Harrison. And there's guys coming out of the bullpen for Bama. I don't even know who they are. Throwing 100. Like, to say they got arms. I mean, they've got top-end arms where they're going to give a lot of people trouble. TJ McCants was one of the most underrated pickups in the portal. I thought he had a really good weekend. Yeah, Ole Miss transfer. I thought he had a really good weekend. And so Bama's a legit club. I know they got swept at Georgia. And home field advantage, by the way, Harrison, just continues to be, you know, I caught a lot of crap, of course, for picking Bama to take 2 of 3. But again, home field, man. And I know Bama doesn't even have, like, the most intimidating home field atmosphere in the SEC, but it's just, you go on the road, man. It's just
they
difficult.
They got a big backstop. Every pass ball scores.
Right.
I've been there.
It's just tough to win on the road. So give Bama a lot of credit. That's a really, really good team. I think that's a really good team. I think, you know, I think Arkansas obviously is the lead dog right now in the SEC West, but I think Bama's going to make some noise. Certainly they're on track to potentially be a regional host. From the South Carolina perspective, though, it's like I said last week, Harrison, I just think this team is going to be inconsistent up and down all year. Like, I thought it was really ironic that, you know, last week we're talking about Vanderbilt and their comedy of errors in the field, and now this week South Carolina is returning the favor and they're making the comedy of errors.
Played well defensively last week,
right? And then game one defense cost you. It almost cost you in game three. So they got to figure out their game two starter role. I still don't think Dylan Eskew is it. I think they've got their guy in Eli Jones, but
who do you start then on game two?
I mean, do you move up?
Ty Good?
Maybe Ty Good. Do you move up Pitzer? I guess they've just completely given up on Roman Kimball in any sort of capacity. You know, so easier said than done, right? Kingston and company, they got to make those decisions. But
they got to make them quick because their schedule is not easier.
Yeah, no, the schedule is brutal.
At Florida and then host Arkansas. I mean, yeah.
So A&M at Florida and Arkansas. So you will get exposed. You will get flat out exposed. I don't care where these series are being played, Columbia on the road. You're going to get exposed if you don't have some solid starting pitching all throughout the weekend. So, you know, we'll see. But it's like I said last week, Harrison, I've never felt more sure of anything in my life. This is a 35, 36 win ball club. They're going to go 15-15 in SEC play. They're going to kind of sneak into the postseason.
It's a really scrappy team, though. Really scrappy ball club. I mean, it's going to, you know, upset someone, you know, they did Vanderbilt.
Yeah, but I just, you know, the hot, cold, hot theory, it's all going to be about a South Carolina getting hot at the right time at the end. Like, they've got the pieces, but they're just wildly inconsistent. So we'll see. It could go a number of different directions for sure. Let's run through the rest of these, Harrison. Texas A&M, fourth-ranked Aggies taking on Auburn. I feel like Texas A&M very quietly has just been kicking ass. I mean, that's just – they beat Auburn 9-7. 12-8, 10-9, and 12 innings in that Sunday game. Some close contests for sure. I'm really disappointed in Auburn, man. I think what you're seeing is how quickly it can snowball. They are 1-8 in the conference. 1-8. It's been a really tough stretch for Butch Thompson's club. But again, we do also have to give a lot of credit to Texas A&M. The pitching was shoddy, was suspect, which is not what we've been seeing to this point, but dude, Texas A&M just continues to find a way.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing in the SEC is finding a way, whether it's how you normally do, like if it's an Arkansas pitching staff or, you know, an A&M pitching staff, or if it's, you know, finding a new way with the bats or the defense playing lights out. I mean, in the SEC, it's going to take more than two. It's going to take two or three facets to win a series, let alone win the SEC.
Harrison, let's move to Kentucky Ole Miss. My goodness, we talked about this top of show. The Kentucky Wildcats, who just vaulted themselves in the top 25 last week, just do work against Ole Miss, sweep the Rebels, score 38 runs over three games in the process. You talk about red hot. They've won 12 of their last 13. I mean, I know I already asked you, but I mean, how surprised are you seeing Kentucky? Because we just talked about home field advantage. Didn't matter in this one. Kentucky went on the road and got the sweep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say I'm surprised, Chris, just because Kentucky's a really good ball club. And like I talked about, Nick Mangione just has he's a really great head coach and has pushed all the right buttons. They've got some couple transfers as well. And they're staying hot off of last season when they went the postseason and went really deep, deeper than a lot of people thought they would. And listen to this, they've scored 38 runs in these three games on the road in the SEC. And we talk about how Swayze's a hostile environment. It's no easy place to play in, whether Ole Miss is doing great or doing okay or not so good. I mean, they've won 12 of their last 13. They're on an absolute heater right now, and they got to keep things flowing. I mean, hopefully they're not in a cold, hot, cold, but it doesn't look like that right now. Kentucky's they're moving in the right direction, and I didn't believe they'd be 8-1, but.
Hey, let me just say this now. maybe it's not as flashy, not as sexy. I don't know if they've got like that one guy, but Kentucky, they're starting to kind of remind me of last year's South Carolina team where they are just red freaking hot. I mean, maybe that's not totally fair, but I mean, you know, they've lost four total ball games at this point, 8-1 in conference play. I mean, I didn't see this coming. I mean, if you'd have told me through three weekends, Kentucky's leading the SEC East, I would have said you were crazy. And sure enough, that's exactly where they are. So, finally, closing out the look across the SEC, the series, the 7th-ranked Vanderbilt Commodores, the Vandy boys, they make easy work of the Missouri Tigers. Final scores of 3-1, 4-0, 3-1. That, you know, Harrison, that's the most Vandy-type weekend, 3-1, 4-0, 3-1. That's called getting Vandied to death. So, easy work. Again, ho-hum, the pitching was fantastic. Again, I feel like that's how Tim Corbin just wants to win games and those low scoring, very clean fundamental. And that was, you know, no matter the opponent, anytime you get swept, when you can bounce back and get the sweep, that's huge, taking advantage. I mean, now they sit right there, 2nd place, 6-3 in the SEC right after getting swept. So Vandy has gone sweep against them, and then sweep. So, but you look overall, Vandy, what they've got upcoming at LSU, at A&M, and Florida. So we're going to, like everybody else, we're going to learn what the Vandy boys are all about coming up.
Yeah. And you know, you earn your stripes in the SEC. I mean, they didn't blow out Missouri like a lot of people thought they would be, you know, the 7th-ranked team, but Carter Holton had a really great outing, you know, and Bryce Cunningham had a really great outing as well. And Carter Holton went 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 earned, 8 Ks. I mean, against Missouri team, which we expected him to do that. Bryce Cunningham had a tough start last week at South Carolina, but really bounced back. 7 1-hit innings, no earned, 12 Ks, 2 walks. Just incredible. Just what you want to see of them and what you want and what Tim Corbin's probably looking for heading into a series at LSU and then at A&M and then hosting Florida. So
Harrison, as we put a bow on weekend number 3 in SEC play, let's do a little buy or sell stock wise. And again, like we talked last week, a team you're buying more stock in and maybe selling some stock you had. This isn't necessarily you're drawing conclusions, writing them off or anointing them, but after what you saw in the 3rd weekend, who are you buying more stock in and who are you selling stock in?
Dang, that's tough. I mean, a lot of people would say,
Can we buy any more Arkansas stock? I don't think it's possible. I don't think I can buy
it. I think it's overpriced right now. I really think it is.
It really is.
I mean, if I had to buy more stock, I mean, I'd say buy more stock in Georgia Bulldogs. I mean, going into Lindsey Nelson against a top 5 team and absolutely mashing against really good SEC pitching and playing really well. I know that they lost the series, but still, I mean, I think you had to buy more stock in their offense at least.
So, Harrison, for me, when it comes to – who are you selling stock in, by the way? I don't think you did that. Who are you selling stock in?
Outside of Missouri because the floor is too low.
Right.
I guess you got to sell stock in Auburn. I think you really got to sell stock in Auburn. Just how they have a lot of really good pieces, but they just have kind of underperformed the SEC, and they're last in the SEC right now. It's just not where we expect them to be, and I just think you got to sell some stock right now.
So, Harrison, I'm going to buy stock in Texas A&M. I've already got a lot of it, but I really like this club. You know, I think even on a weekend in which they did not pitch well, and that was their big problem last year, you still find a way to win all 3 games. And, again, they take advantage of the Auburn team you just mentioned. I'm going to buy more stock in Schlossnagel's club. I really like A&M a lot. The team I'm selling stock in, I'm going to sell stock in LSU. I'm ready. I'm selling my stock I have in LSU. I know it's only been 3 weekends. And this is not me selling stock on like, oh, they're not even going to make the postseason. But I think LSU's got problems. I really do. And conference play is not the time to figure it out. Like when we're going into weekend number 4 and I'm like, heck, I don't know what they're going to do with their starting rotation. I don't know who's going to pitch. I don't know what – there's some problems there. So I'd love to eat my words here, but I'm going to sell that stock on LSU. You know who I almost sold my stock on was Florida. I'm going to get out ahead of this Florida thing because I'm telling you, bro, Florida's playing a dangerous game. They're a really good team. They're playing a dangerous game right now, though. So,
Definitely.
You keep messing around in these midweeks, and it almost came back to bite you over the weekend. I'm telling you, bro, you're playing with fire. And typically in the SEC on the diamond, you get burned when you play too often. I'm just saying. Anyways, but I'm going to stick with LSU. I'm selling stock in LSU. Best thing you saw from the weekend, Harrison?
I was going into the weekend expecting it to be LSU-Arkansas series and just being an incredible series against two perennial, you know, historically powerhouse teams in the SEC with great pitching staffs, headlined by Arkansas, of course. But I got to say, it was the smash fest in Lindsey Nelson between Georgia and Tennessee. I mean, it was, as a pitcher, not pitching in the game, really exciting to watch. As a pitcher pitching the game, the last thing you want to see. But I think it was just so great for college baseball, SEC baseball, and just all the fans there. I mean, it was rowdy, like we talked about in game two. They tied a Lindsey Nelson record with fans. And it was awesome to see. You love seeing a good high-scoring game in college. That's what makes it fun. I'm trying to grow the game here.
Yeah, and speaking of that, I was going to say the best thing that I saw this weekend outside of, I feel like the obvious is the fact that we actually got LSU-Arkansas on national TV. That was incredible. Hearing friend of the show, Kyle Peterson's voice on the airwaves, fantastic. KP. Absolutely love it. KP's a legend. The best thing I saw, you know, I'm going to go with Kentucky, continuing to prove the doubters wrong, going into Oxford. I know Ole Miss isn't a world beater, but, I mean, they were sitting there at 3-3, right? This was a pivotal series, and going in there and just pulling off the sweep. And, you know, Kentucky just continues to still, it seems like, fly under the radar, and everybody's doubting them because you don't think – you know, we're sitting here talking about John Calipari, not Kentucky baseball, and sure enough, all they're doing is winning. So the best thing I saw, Kentucky continuing to find ways to win. Three big takeaways, Harrison, from the weekend. What do you got?
Three big takeaways. Arkansas continues to prove that they're the best team in the country against a really good LSU team that has been struggling, but just continues to prove why they're the best team in the country. Number two, LSU's in rough water. I mean, I'm on board with you a little bit. I'm not fully on board, but they're definitely in rough water, just being 2-8 in the SEC, or 2-7 in the SEC, second to last in their standings. And just, we talk about how their schedule doesn't get any better. It's just, you got a lot of things to figure out, a lot to do it quick too, but they're floating in deep water right now, which is a tiny boat trying to figure the way out. And number three is Georgia's offense just against SEC pitching. I mean, I think we talked about how was it going to translate? Was the team that leads the country in home runs going to translate to doing it in the SEC? I mean, and I think they really did prove it. I mean, I don't think Lindsey Nelson is the biggest ballpark by any means. I don't know if it was 320 down the line, but
it's a bomb box. I've been there.
Really?
It's a bomb. If the wind, especially with the wind, like it's. Oh yeah. It flies.
I have one bonus one for you. I know we said three, but right. I have one bonus right. one for you. I think it's Mississippi State. Just the way that they played. I'm rocking Love the cap. Shout out to the managers and team. The way that they played and how they should have swept Florida on the road in the SEC. I mean, it sucks, you know, it's a bitter taste, but that's a huge takeaway for me is how they played in the road in the SEC. And just a team that we didn't have a ton of excitement to be around, especially how they've played recently the past couple of years since winning the national championship. So,
yeah, speaking of Mississippi State and their managers, and we've got a good relationship now with their creative media people and everything. So I'm almost like, I really want State to win these series because then maybe they'll use our audio again and we'll be like on the highlight tape.
I should have had the dude's shirt underneath I have repping.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure they'll take notes. Those guys are freaking awesome. So my three big takeaways, number one, Hagan Smith is going to be on a big league roster next year. I think that you watch this kid pitch. It's electric. I mean, really, truly it is. I mean, this guy is wise beyond his years. He pitches like a big leaguer. In my opinion, he pitches like a professional. He's incredible. I mean, I know there's other guys, Chase Burns, and there's some others in the SEC, but I don't know that I'd take anybody over Hagan Smith right now.
I can't argue that.
Yeah, my second big takeaway is Florida continues to get by the skin of their teeth, which, again, is what they did this weekend. And Jack Caglione is their saving grace right now. I mean, that dude, where on God's green earth would Florida be without Jack Caglione?
I have no idea. Best player in college baseball this year.
Yeah. And my third and final takeaway, I've gone two pretty positive. My third and final takeaway is this already feels like a lost season for Auburn. Like, I hate it. And I know a lot of people, listen, like the D1 baseball guys, right? Good relationship with those guys. They were out on Auburn. They were out on Auburn preseason. I wanted to believe in Butch Thompson. And they might have a run in them. They very well may. It would not shock me, but like we talked about, Harrison, it can snowball on you quickly in the SEC. it's snowballing on Auburn right now. It's really, really snowballing on them. So,
that's fair.
Before we get out of here, Harrison, really, really quickly, the new top 25 is out from D1Baseball.com. Obviously, great SEC representation. Arkansas at 1, A&M 3, Tennessee 4. So, 3 of the top 5 are SEC teams. And you got Florida at 6, Vandy at 7. So, we got 5 of the top 10 from the SEC. Then you got Bama at 13, Kentucky at 17. LSU drops all the way to 18th. South Carolina at 22nd. How about Mississippi State at 23rd? Those are the SEC teams in the top 25. And I know, I'm sure you're just like me, Harrison, where seeing that Clemson paw at 2 is painful. Painful, to say the least. Your quick thoughts on the top 25. Did D1 Baseball get it right? Just thoughts on the movements that we saw this week.
I think you got to keep an eye on Kentucky sneaking around at 17 in the rankings. Just keep climbing up. You know, LSU's big drop down, I think. But how it's tough just because how good the SEC is week after week. It proves that you might have 1 week off, maybe. And by week off, I mean a week in which you are expected to sweep, at least win the series. But you don't have time to fix things, really, in the SEC. Mm-hmm. I think the rankings continue to prove that. And the teams and the caliber at which they play and the talent at which they have and develop, like we talk about how quickly these SEC players are going through the minor league rankings. The SEC is loaded with talent. It's great for the game of baseball, and it's great for college and the SEC, for sure, to headline that.
And looking ahead, Harrison, you know, you mentioned like how the SEC, the schedule, it's like it's up and down, like you never know. Just a way too early look ahead. We've got Bama, Kentucky. I'll start. So Kentucky, the second team I mentioned is the home team. Bama, Kentucky, Florida, Mizzou, Georgia, Mississippi State, Auburn, Tennessee, Tech, or actually reverse that, right? Because South Carolina hosts A&M, correct? Or do they go on the road? They host, okay. So the second team is the home team, yes. So anyways, Bama, Kentucky, Florida, Mizzou, Georgia, Mississippi State, Auburn, Tennessee, Texas A&M, South Carolina, Ole Miss, Arkansas, Vandy, and LSU. We're going to continue to learn a lot.
Great series.
It's funny because, you know, I had people that really came after my predictions for last weekend, but you have to remind people that, like, dude, you got to – it's not going to go chalk. Like, it's just not. It's not going to go chalk at any point. You got to think outside of the box. I'll be doing so yet again, as will Harrison.
But when in doubt, though. When in doubt, just pick the home team.
I believe it's like really 700 almost. That way. Dude, it really does feel that way. So,
yeah.
You know, it really feels like, Harrison, like unless you're that much vastly superior to the team.
Like Arkansas at Missouri.
If it's a coin flip, go with the home team. Like if you're in doubt, go with the home team. But
Georgia, Mississippi State's going to be a great series, I think. At the dude.
That'll be a fun one. And I was just going to say, Harrison, my thoughts on the top 25. Outside of being disgusted at seeing the paw at number 2, you know, I mean, I think LSU dropping to 18 is the thing that's really, truly most like eye popping. You know, South Carolina continues to hover in there at 22. Mississippi State being at 23 is awesome. Obviously, Ole Miss drops out, but LSU being at 18 is crazy, and Kentucky being a spot ahead of them, right, is pretty wild. So. Those LSU folks gave me a lot of crap for where I put LSU in the power rankings last week. And I told them, I said, hey, this very well could change. But LSU, they got to start winning because that talent on paper means nothing if you're not winning on the field. And they've yet to do it. So we'll see if they can turn it around.
And I think like we talked about after a couple weeks in the rankings of SEC play is when you kind of really have a good idea of how good teams are. You know, non-conference rankings are all preseason based and expectations, but now you see kind of how teams have played in their own conferences respectively, headlined by the SEC and some of the ACC as well in the conference or in the rankings as well. But I mean, when you look at Florida at 6, do you believe they're number 6 in the country
right now? No. Well, I put it to you this way. They're a top 5 team on the weekend. They are not a top 25 team during the midweek. So Florida's a little difficult to figure out. I'm sure they're very sick of hearing about their midweek woes, but dude, they're so hard to figure out. So no, I think Florida's probably more of like 11th or 12th until we start seeing more consistency. But I mean, they're top end talent. They're good enough to be number one in the country. You know what I mean? Or number two or number three, you know, top two or three teams. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how they fare in this week's. I don't even know who they have in the midweek. I can check real quick, but they got to get it rolling. Let's see. The Florida Gators take on, let's see. There's some good midweek. So they take on Florida A&M. So I think Florida's going to be okay. I think they're going to be okay. Maybe not, but they're going to be okay, I think. And, again, we got some really good action in the midweek this week. Georgia State will be fun. This is all on Tuesday. South Carolina, Georgia Southern, that'll be a fun game. UAB, Auburn will be a fun game. Kentucky, Louisville, little rivalry. That'll be a fun game. And, by the way, that South Carolina, Georgia Southern game, that is on Wednesday. So, yeah. Some good midweek matches.
Speaking of rivalries, Florida State play again week after, not this midweek, but next midweek.
Bro, I know they're not looking forward to that. I mean, bro, Florida State has been taking belt to ass. Let's just call it for what it is. So, anyways, Harrison, this has been a lot of fun, man. Any closing remarks looking back on week three or looking ahead to week four?
Closing remarks. I'd have to say that just the SEC, I think, is just, no matter what series you watch, for the most part, is some of the best baseball talent, entertaining thing to watch in college baseball for sure. And the talent just keeps getting better and better every year. The recruits, the players, the coaching, it's the performance, how well these guys are training. It just gets better and better, and it's so much fun to watch. And the game's growing exponentially.
Indeed. It's only heating up from here. Cannot wait to see what weekend number four in SEC play has in store. Guys, it's going to do it all for us. Another edition of The Windup is in the books. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe button on YouTube. Hit that bell icon as well so you get notifications of when we go live and when we drop new video content. Also, guys, check out the podcast, which drops daily, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us across all social media platforms and check out our website, secunfiltered.com, for all the latest from us. For Harrison Fan, I'm Chris Phillips. So guys, we appreciate you all tuning in, and we'll catch you on the other side.